And talk about Good Shepherd today. The gospel reading that we had has the most beautiful picture of Jesus in it. He says, I'm the Good Shepherd. So I want us to consider a few points about what that means for us, Jesus as being the shepherd and then us as the sheep. So as usual, I have an outline in there. You're welcome to follow along with that. I put the text in there. As I begin, what I'd like to share with you is that I think the most important thing for us in our lives is how we see God. I think that's essential for all of us. It affects every single area of your life. So it affects how you deal with the past. It affects how you face your future. It affects how you live today, how you see God, or how you believe that God sees you, is going to affect everything that you do in your life. And the thing is, unfortunately, there's many ways that we get distorted views of God. For example, you can get an inaccurate picture of God based on your own background. You could have a distorted idea of God if you just looked at what you see in the media. Painful experiences will distort your view of God. What other people tell us, that will distort our view of God. And our sin, the fact that we sin, we're sinners, that distorts our view of God. The result of that, if you have an inaccurate view of God, you won't necessarily see Him as the Good Shepherd, and you won't see yourself as one of His sheep. And you really won't know what God is like. And the problem with that is, if you don't know what God is like, you will fall into likely one of two mistakes. One, you might deny Him and say, I don't believe in God. And I've run into people that tell me, they say, well, I don't believe in God. And so I'll ask them, and I've done this before, I said, well, why don't you believe in God? And a lot of times the response will be, I don't believe in a God that would allow this. I don't believe in a God that would do this. And you know, when I listen to that, I go, I don't either. And our idea of God and what we have is oftentimes not, in fact, what the Bible says. And sometimes we don't understand what God is really like, and as a result, we can't hear Him speaking to us. And then sometimes on the other side of it, what seems to happen is that we might create our own little gods. And a lot of people have shared with me, they'll say, well, you know, I think God is kind of like, and then you just fill the blank, right? And you have your description of God. But here's the thing, and I mean this with all respect. Your opinion of God doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you think about God. It's not going to change God. It's not going to change who He is. It's not going to change what He does or why He does it. You can be wrong. And we can have the wrong idea of God. And our passage starts with Jesus Christ saying that He is the Good Shepherd and comparing Himself to a man who is a hired person to watch the sheep. The difference between a shepherd and a hireling is that the hireling doesn't actually have personal interest in the sheep. So, you know, he can't be trusted in the same way that the real shepherd can. And Jesus says it. He says, the hired hand is not the shepherd. He doesn't own the sheep. So Jesus gives this analogy. He gives this analogy that is meant to help us understand what is absolutely incomprehensible. There's really no way we can fully believe it because it is unbelievable. It is unreasonable. It is absolute crazy behavior of a shepherd in the analogy that Jesus gives. We can understand the hireling. We can understand the hired person having less interest in protecting the sheep because they're not his own and he doesn't have the same interest in it. And of course, the shepherd, he has interest in the sheep to a certain degree because they're his sheep. It's his livelihood. It's the way he makes his income. But really, is he going to lay down his life for sheep more than his family, than his wife, than his kids? No. Sheep can be replaced. He can get more sheep. Now, but Jesus, our good shepherd, we are the sheep, and if what he's telling us is true and accurate and right, he's telling us that his nature is very, very different than anything we know. anything that we know, anything we could possibly understand. And his interest for us and his motivation goes far beyond anything that we could even begin to possibly understand in this world. How can we understand this? We can't. There's no way you can understand love like this. We're called to believe Jesus, trust him, and that's what's necessary. So the good shepherd, Jesus, freely loves us. Now, let's just, for a moment this morning, let's let that really sink in. That he really, really loves us. It's a very plain statement, but it's a very forceful statement. He says in the text, four times in like seven little verses, he says, no one takes my life. I lay it down myself. Now, that's really amazing if you think about that. Didn't Judas take his life? I mean, what about the mob in the garden? Didn't the mob in the garden take his life? Didn't Annas the high priest take his life? And what about the false witnesses that came to witness against him? Didn't they take his life? And the crowd that shouted, crucify him, didn't they take his life? How about the soldiers that crucified him, that hammered the nails into his hands and feet? Didn't they crucify him? Didn't they do that? What in the world does he mean by this? What is Jesus trying to get across to us? What is he saying? You know, because if it weren't true what he's saying, that he laid down his life, if his death was forced on him, if it weren't free, if his heart really wasn't in it, there would forever be a question mark on how much he loves us. The depth of his love is seen in his freedom. It is seen in his willingness to die for us. He chose it. Think about that. He chose to suffer. He chose to embrace it. That's how deep his love really is. And he stresses that. He makes it explicit. He says, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own initiative. It comes out of Jesus. It comes out of who he is. Not out of the circumstances. Not out of the pressure. Out of something that he really, really longed to do. And yes, it says at the end of that verse, it says that he was given a commandment in verse 18. But that's just simply to show that his thinking and the Father's thinking are absolutely the same. They have the same heart, the same passion. At every point where it looks like he is under some sort of constraint, at every moment where it looks like he is being forced to do something he doesn't want to do, he says, I'm not being forced to do this. I chose it. I embraced it. I live for this. And indeed, the Father and the Son, they're orchestrating this together because they love. That's why they're doing it. And he means, you know, that you see the depth. You see the depths of someone's love for you, not only in the pain that it costs, but also in how much undeservedness in you the person has to overcome. You see the depth of love in how free it is given. In other words, we feel a lot more loved when someone loves us because they just freely do it. Because they just absolutely freely do it and they're eager to do it. And it's true, he didn't like the suffering. He didn't want to suffer like that. Who would? But I want you to see this morning, I just want to take this time just for you to concentrate. And just to grasp in some way the willingness and the eagerness and even the joy that he had. That's what he means when he says, I lay down my life. And he stresses that in this passage. He wants us to live in the Savior's love. He wants us just to live in that. And I can't imagine in my life, I can't begin to even imagine what my life would be like if God took his love away from me. You know, when you understand God's love, it includes just this most incredible capacity to forgive. It strains anybody's imagination. One thing I really do understand about this love of God is that I don't deserve it. I do not deserve this love. A shepherd cares for sheep. A shepherd watches over sheep. He knows exactly what they need. And sheep don't know. Sheep really have no idea. They just receive it. There's a verse from Romans I put in your outline. It says, God showed us how much he loves us. It was while we were still sinners that Christ died for us. And God doesn't say, clean up your act and then come to me. Sheep don't clean themselves, the shepherd does. I have this idea in my mind what it would be like when I meet God. And I thought about this, that, you know, what if God gave you the capacity, gave you the supernatural capacity that you could write down in a notebook? Might take a bunch of notebooks. But if you could write down every bad thing you've done. Let's say that God gave you the ability, you could remember every bad and naughty thing and every sin that you've ever committed, and you write them down in a notebook. That's probably a lot of notebooks. I mean, for me, yeah, I would just be insane. And, you know, God just takes all that and he just throws it away, and I think some of you here need to hear that. You need to throw it away. You need to let it go. You know that hurt, that the pain? We all feel lost, not forgiven, burdened, overwhelmed, without direction. But that is not coming from God. That is not coming from the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd speaks to you very different than that. He came to this earth so that he could shepherd us. And my point is that you would let God's protection in, that you would let his loving care and his forgiveness into your life. See, I am truly recognizing him when I do what? When I give him all my guilt, when I give him all my shame, when I give him all my sin. When I lay that on him, I am fully recognizing who he is. Picture yourself. Now, I'll picture myself as a Pharisee sitting there listening to Jesus Christ say these words. You know, and I'm thinking to myself, if he thinks I'm going to get sucked into this movement along with tax collectors and prostitutes, he's crazy. And in hearing about this kind of love, how do you respond? How do you respond? You know, I shared last week, find somebody in your life that's unlovable. Did you run into somebody this last week like that? That's just unlovable. You know, this is just the love of God and just the grace of God that works in us. I mean, we need to hear the shepherd speak. We really do. Sheep are inherent followers. They will, and I've looked this up, it's actually true. Sheep will just follow without even a thought. If the lead sheep goes over a cliff, the other ones will just follow right over the cliff, except if perhaps they happen to be looking up at that moment and not looking at the grass of that they're busy chewing on. And, you know, think about the devil's strategy. Think about how that works. A lot of times we think about it just has to do with a sin. It just has to do with us, you know, kind of stumbling and falling in different ways. But it's a lot bigger than that. It's a lot grander than that in the sense that what he wants to do is he wants to get you off the Good Shepherd. He wants to get your mind directed away from his love and his care for you, from his forgiveness and his grace, from living that, from rejoicing in that, though you have no merit that would say that you should. This is crazy love. This is crazy grace. This is not something that any human being can even begin to figure out. That's what Jesus says he is. And this week, you know, I would encourage you just to think about why the Good Shepherd loves you so much. It's not because we're good, but it's because we need him that much. We need him that much. Temptation is going to hit you guys. And the thing about temptation is it's going to hit you in your weakest point. It doesn't play fair. And this is where we need the Good Shepherd in our lives. Temptation is going to hit you when you hurt. It's going to bring back painful memories. It's going to cause care and concern when you have relationship problems with someone. And it's difficult to bridge that, or it's difficult to understand that. These things are the areas where you're just going to be attacked, like when the wolves come in. And these are the things that bug us. And there's different things that come to us in different ways. There's financial problems that we have to deal with. I know people in the congregation, they're dealing with medical problems. Man, this is a reality that we have to do. Family problems. Oh my goodness. These issues, as I was saying, these are the wolves. These are the things that come and attack. And the hireling doesn't care, you know, but Jesus Christ does. Now, Jesus knows that the temptations are going to hit you. They're coming, and he seeks to prepare us. So what we really need to do is just connect and affirm to ourselves that we are absolutely 100% under His care, and that when we begin to look to Him and look to His grace and want His love in our lives and His guidance, good things begin to happen, because He is the Good Shepherd and He will be faithful. May God bless you and strengthen you and keep you in this amazing grace of God.